Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, I'm Gavin, you're the best thing since metal, and you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Irene Ruby Jejong, who left her job in summer 2019 and started teaching art classes in person. And when we went into lockdown, she took her business online. Fast forward to 2024, now she teaches a global community of people in various stages of their creative journeys. Irene, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, Gavin. Thank you so much for having me. That's a lovely introduction.
No problem. Well deserved. Irene, talk to us about before you became an art tutor and, you know, to where you are today. Tell us a bit about your background. I think our listeners would love to hear that.
Well, if we go all the way back to when I was a kid, I was always really, really creative. And I actually sort of throughout school and throughout high school, I made a lot of art and I actually decided I wanted to go to art school. So I applied to university to do fashion for a fashion degree and I got rejected and I was really devastated by that. And I changed my mindset completely and I thought, okay, if art is not it for me, I'm going to be a lawyer. So I decided to study law instead. Very responsible, completely different choice. So I completed that degree, left art completely behind, moved to England as well because I grew up in a different country. I moved to England, started my career here and started working all these things. But somewhere in the back of my mind, that art part of me was always there, where I always felt, oh, maybe one day I will come back to it. And you know how life goes. You're busy, you don't really have time to do things. So I left like the art part very much sort of behind for quite a few years. Until in 2018, my grandmother passed away. And my grandmother was an artist, and I was very, very close to her. I used to spend my entire summer with her, and we were very close. And I was actually there with her when she passed away. And it was a very emotional time for me, that period, the last few months of her life and that period. And she was very old. She lived till 94 and she had a very rich life.
So good for her.
That's a little side note. So my grandmother passed away and her house was just filled with art. There was paintings everywhere. There was lots of art materials. And I was the only one in the family who said, you know what, all those art materials, those brushes, those paints, those sketchbooks, I will take them with me. So I took everything with me to England. And in the months sort of after that happened, I started to use her art materials to paint again. And through going through that and through that process, I started to feel really connected to my grandmother. And I really fell back in love with making art again. And it gave me so much comfort and joy. And, you know, I felt connected to her. And it was such a big part of helping me through that grief that I think in that moment, I started to realize that I wanted art to be a bigger part of my life again. And slowly the idea of starting Making the Musings, which is my company, started growing, and that slowly started to form. And in the year after, that idea went bigger and bigger, and I started to teach some people in my surroundings and some friends. And until like summer 2019, as you said, I quit my job and I started to do this full time. So yeah, it's been quite a journey, but it got me where I am now. And it's interesting sometimes how a person's life, you know, sort of goes in a circle, isn't it?
You're living the dream, Irene. Living the dream. So you left your 9-to-5 basically and pursuing your career, you know, your hobby, plus now become your career and business.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. How does engaging in artistic activities, do you think, contribute to overall well-being?
Well, I think there is many, many things that you can do for your mental health, for your mental well-being. And I see art almost like a form of mindfulness, like a form of meditation. And I think for a lot of people, meditation, like most people know nowadays, that meditation is good for us and that, you know, it helps you clear your mind and get rid of all these like intrusive thoughts that, you know, everyone has sometimes. But sometimes it can be quite daunting to start it. But by making art and by focusing on creating something with your hands as well, in an area where we, like nowadays, we're all so much into technology that doing something physical with your hands as well and focusing on making something, and that can be, almost like a form of meditation when you come into that creative flow. And I'm sure we'll speak about creative flow a little bit more in a moment. But when you sort of reach that moment when you forget everything about you and you're just making something and time fades away, and it's almost like meditation. And I think it can be a really powerful way of like relaxation and switching off from the world a little bit as well.
Of course, absolutely. Like an escape, would you say?
Yes, I find escape is quite a harsh word, isn't it?
It is.
For some people, it definitely can be. I think there's lots of artists who use art to escape from daily troubles and daily things. But I think also for people who are not looking to escape from big problems, it can be wonderful to find moments of relaxation into your life, sort of throughout your day or in the evening, to switch off a bit from, we all have so much going on, right? Everyone is busy. We all have so much input and WhatsApps and texts and everything
social
that's
media.
Happening. Social media. To sort of put all of that aside for a moment and just focus on something that you're making with your hands, I think is wonderful.
Absolutely. Totally. I think as well as art, there's music. People use these forms to either, you know, as I say, escape, divert, or just actually something they're really interested in and it just helps them relax, you know? From your experience, what role does creativity play in promoting mental health and emotional balance?
Well, I think there's different ways of how you can use sort of creativity and art to sort of increase your mental well-being and your mental health. And of course, one way is by expressing yourself through journaling, for example. So you write things or you paint things in a journal, and it's your like a direct expression of what you're going through in a day. So you can put your experience literally onto paper and sort of get it out of your system and put it somewhere else. But it's also just a really great way, like through that creative flow, if you make something that is just a pretty picture, you paint a flower that you like, just that activity of making something, it doesn't need to be something that is like really revolutionary or really deep or something that, addresses the political situation in the country. Like you don't have to go into that area if you don't want to. If you just make something that is pretty and makes you feel good, is also really like soulful and good, nourishes your system. So there's loads and loads of studies out there that prove that a creative activity, even if you're a beginner, you don't have to make something amazing. You don't have to sell it or show it to the world. You can just make something for yourself, something small, and it already has a tremendous effect on your mental well-being. So of course, it's not a cure-all. It's not like if you have, like, there's lots of other things that you may need to do, but it can help everyone in like little ways. And
absolutely. Yeah. So basically what you're saying is you don't have to be an artist and be great at painting or drawing. It's just about just taking that piece of paper out or canvas, mm-hmm. whatever it might be, and taking out some materials and just painting and drawing whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I teach so many people who are actually a little bit older, a little bit sort of, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, a bit older than me, who loved making art as a kid. And, you know, every child thinks of themselves as creative, right? Have you ever met a kid who's like, oh, no, I can't draw, I cannot dance, I can't sing? Kids love doing these things and they believe they can do it. And they have this intrinsic sort of motivation to do all these things. And then at some point we become teenagers and we become a bit shy and a bit self-aware. And suddenly you think, oh, people will judge me or what will they think? And we sort of stop doing these things. And I think we all have this like creative spark within us and we can all make things. I think creativity is what makes us human, like the ability to tell stories, to paint, to dance, to draw, to cook, like to cook a wonderful meal. Or like there's so many things that I think are connected to creativity. And my outlet is painting and drawing. And this is what I teach people. But I believe you can do it in so many different ways. And if you put your love and soul and attention into something and you create something beautiful, it doesn't have to be perfect, but something that you make, I really think that anyone can do that. Everyone can find an outlet like that. And the as I said, I teach so many people who are a bit older and they forgot that they are creative. Very often people forget. And then by start doing it and by slowly sort of engrossing in that activity, I sort of sometimes have to pull it out a little bit with encouragement. And yes, it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to make a bit of a mess and let that inner child out. It's okay if things go wrong. It's only a painting, right? What's the worst thing that can happen? You put your paint in the wrong spot and you don't like it, you make another one. That's fine. It's absolutely okay. So to slowly bring that out in people. And it's, I love it. I just love seeing people then gain their confidence and then slowly think, I've made that. And then see them being proud of something. And all of these, like being proud of something that you've made is so powerful. Like just in general, for your own sense of self-worth. And I think it's a really wonderful thing to see that happen to people.
Absolutely. What's your favorite materials to work with?
Oh, well, that is a difficult question.
I was thinking, let me ask you something a bit out of the box here. You know what I mean? So, you know, what do you like? What kind of materials do you like to use?
So I am a bit of an, I like experimenting with different materials. And I know that a lot of artists, they pick one thing and then they stick with it. But I, and this is also why I like teaching, because I teach people materials that I like to use in the moment. So at the moment, I'm thinking about collaging. So I'm thinking, maybe I'll create a course doing collaging and making illustrations using like teared up sort of pieces of paper. So sometimes I have an idea and then I start thinking of how can I build something around it because I want to do it and then start teaching it to others. So I use a lot of color pencil. I like traditional materials. I don't do much digital art. A little bit here and there sometimes for, I do some illustration as well for book covers and children's books and things like that. That's why I sometimes use some digital art. But I think getting my hands dirty, like literally, like using physical materials is just wonderful. And so I use a lot of watercolors. I'm just looking around. Color pencils. I'm working on some color pencils things here.
Cool. Do you use oil pastels at all? Oil pastels?
Yeah, pastels and crayons. And I do a lot of mixed media where I mix up different materials.
Cool. So a varied amount of different materials that you use.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Do you use chalk? Have you used chalk before?
I have done a little bit, but it's not something I use very often. So that's an interesting thing. People make beautiful signs with like chalk pens and on windows. And so I've used it a little bit sort of to decorate windows sort of around Christmas or a shop window, but not it's not my main thing. No.
I've known people in the past where they've got those really thin ballpoint pens, really, I think the Pilot pens, I think they used to use to call them or whatever it might be. And they draw buildings with them. Like, you know, like skyscrapers and stuff like that. A really, very fine pen. Nothing colourful. Just take that out and just start kind of doing landscapes in terms of buildings and that kind of thing. So, you know, and I suppose the point I'm making is that you can use so many different materials, can't you? There's just so much out there where people can express themselves and create something.
Yeah. Well, this is really interesting that you say that, because I very often, you know how you sort of post things on social media, and then the reactions I get most often is, what is the exact pen that you're using? Or what is that brush? What is the exact brand and size of that brush? Because if I have the perfect brush, then I can make art. Like people make that bridge. If I only had the right materials, then I could make something wonderful. But making art isn't about having the perfect pen or having that perfect brush. It's about using the materials that you have and just play with it. And then slowly, you know, maybe you start with one pen. You can make wonderful portraits just in ballpoint pen. I did a challenge where I created 100 portraits only using ballpoint pen. And it was a fantastic way of doing it. It's actually one of the first things that I started to do when I made more art, because I could take a ballpoint pen everywhere, right? On the tube, on my way to my commute to work. So I had like a tiny little sketchbook and a ballpoint pen. It just fit it in my pocket. And any time that I had a bit of spare time during my lunch break, I used to draw. And it was really simple because it was so accessible. So sometimes having the perfect materials is not, can actually be debilitating, I think is the word I'm looking for. So sometimes when you have that really expensive paint, you think, I'm going to use this really beautiful oil paint. So now I have to make something wonderful. And it can be like a barrier. But with a really simple pen and some cheap paper, and you just start drawing, and it doesn't matter. You can experiment. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. So sometimes having really simple art materials can actually be freeing and allow for more creativity. So there's a bit of an change of mindset sometimes there.
100%, absolutely.
Pick up a pen and start. That's, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break, and we'll be right.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So Irene, thank you for that, you know, intro into art and, you know, emotional world, but being balanced, etc. Can you talk to us about the creative flow? I know you've spoken about this before and its connection with mindfulness and meditation.
So creative flow is it's a term that was coined in the 1970s, before that no one had even thought about that. And creative flow means that state in which you like are completely engrossed into an activity that you completely forget about anything else. And it can happen when you make music or when you paint or when you draw. And just, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you enjoyed an activity so much that you completely forgot about the time. And then 2 hours later, you look up and you think, I've not touched my cup of tea. I've completely forgot about the time. And I was just so focused on this. And you completely, all your worries and your thoughts and all these things going on in your life, all your appointments that you have with the dentist next week, all these things, they are sort of not there for a short amount of time, and you're just focusing on this one thing that you're making. And if that ever happens to you, that is just a really wonderful place to be in. When, and also when the energy of that creative energy just flows and you're just drawing. Like some days you draw something and every brush strokes is difficult and you have to think about every color and everything is a struggle. When you're in that state of creative flow, sometimes it just comes out. And then at the end, you're like, I've made this, and it just seemed, it felt so natural and it just came really easy. So it's a state of mind that every artist sort of aspires to get when they make art.
Oh, right. Okay.
You don't get it every time, but it's really lovely place to be in when everything falls together, all the puzzle pieces come together.
Brilliant, brilliant. What are some simple exercises or techniques that our listeners can try to enhance their creativity and mindfulness through art?
Well, like one thing that I already mentioned a little bit is just carrying a sketchbook around. And I think the more art you make, the more drawings and doodles and sketches and paintings you make, the easier it becomes. So the more you make it a habit, the easier it becomes. Because if you only make 2 paintings a year, there's a lot of pressure on those 2 paintings to be perfect, to be great. But if you make 100 paintings and you mess up 5 or you mess up 10 or 50, you still have all the other ones left that are great. So I think the more you create, the easier it is to sort of let go of that perfectionism and go into that state. So I think that's a really great way. Just carry your sketchbook around everywhere, carry a pen around, draw what you see, and also make what gives you joy. If you want to draw cats and dogs and you want to do pet portraits, then practice that and go for it. If you find people really interesting, start drawing people. If you are really into plants and nature and botany, maybe, you know, start sketching flowers and plants. There's no rules in art where you have to make a specific thing. You can find something that suits you. You know, some people only draw food recipes and they make drawings of dinner plates that they find beautiful. Like, that's fun. That's not what I do. But if that's something that gives you joy and you like doing it, it's absolutely wonderful. And yes, I think sketching a lot, sketching what gives you joy. And keep your materials quite simple, I think, especially when you first start out. Don't overcomplicate it. Just start with some cheap materials. You can always buy something nicer or more expensive when you're sort of get used to. If you find that you like it and you get more into the flow. Yeah, these things really
help. Must be nice. It must be nice for people to maybe in this point in time or whatever it might be, just travel. Mm. And even just down the road to the park or wherever it might be and just take out, you know, their materials and paper, whatever it might be, and just do some sketching and stuff. Do you do that as well? Do you sometimes just go out, just think, you know what, I'm just going to walk anywhere and I'm just going to I'm going to paint something.
Absolutely. I do that all the time. I do it by myself. So when I travel somewhere, I always take a sketchbook with me. Usually I actually have it here. I know we're on radio, but I've got a little sketchbook that fits in my pocket. And if I see something that I like or I have to wait for the bus or something, I make a little sketch. But actually, if this is something that people want to do, there's a lot of urban sketch groups in the UK. And I actually run one here in my local community, but there's everywhere in London. If you search for urban sketching and then with the area that you live in, I'm sure you'll find a group. And usually they're free. People meet up once a month, sometimes once a week, depends a bit on how busy the area is. And everyone brings their own art materials, a sketchbook. They're usually very friendly, really informal. You don't need to be an artist, like experienced artist, to join in. So go out and about and then sketch some buildings. There's often a few people that can help you out if you get stuck, because it's usually, our artists tend to be quite friendly. But happy to help out if people get stuck. So yeah, that's definitely something that I love to do. So I do it as part of that urban sketch group, but also by myself. If I go on holidays, I always take a sketchbook with me, or if I travel somewhere.
Do you catch other people out as well, like maybe sketching or anything like that?
Yes, I think once you notice it, you start spotting more people. So there's sort of famous places where people go, like museums. You often see people draw in museums or sketch sort of famous buildings. If you go to Trafalgar Square, you would see people there sketching out the sites. But I think the more, if you're part of a community, you start to notice these other people doing the same thing. So, yeah.
Sounds great. Sounds brilliant. Are you part of a community? Is there a community as well, people that you know of? Or
There's loads of communities. So I actually host, I have an online community where we sort of come together and paint. But there's lots of communities out there, both formal as part of memberships or informal where there's Facebook groups and things like that. Some communities host meetups. I think it's the same like with any hobby or any profession. There's lots of communities out there. I noticed that, so I host an online community, and I noticed that people in my community, they come from all over the world, and very often they don't really have friends who like painting or drawing. So then to come together online and do this with people, and over the internet is a really great way of getting to know people. Especially, I have quite a lot of people join in who suffer from quite severe illnesses and sometimes not able to leave the house. I have a few people who join in painting like literally from their bed. So they have to stay in their beds and they paint along, and sometimes they cannot join the entire class. So they put their painting away and then watch the rest of the recording later. I quite often get messages from people saying that, you know, it helps them stay connected with the world, you know, through making art and to do something that they can do from home. Feel part of a community, even though they're not able to travel to places physically. So, yeah.
That's great. I think that's brilliant. You know, and it must be great for you as well, knowing that you're helping people, especially, you know, people that can't leave the house and for whatever reason, helping them to improve their mental well-being or maintain kind of things. So I think that's fantastic. Well done to you, you know. How can individuals overcome that? We've mentioned it before, but, you know, self-criticism and perfectionism in their artistic endeavors, you know, because I mean, I suppose people will look and think, oh, well, it's not really good, is it? But still, you're still creating something and you're expressing yourself, aren't you?
Hmm. And also there's a lot of different, there's so many different techniques and different ways of painting. So like there's sort of if people start drawing, they often think of like realistic drawing, like really realistic portraits or really realistic animal portraits or buildings, like the things that are almost photorealistic. This is what we often have in mind. But then once you start looking at art that actually inspires us and that does something with our emotions, it's often things that have much more character, and where the building is a bit wonky or where the face isn't perfectly symmetrical. Or like go to like the Tate Modern, for example. If you walk around and if you look at the paintings that actually speak to you, there's so many different styles there from like so many different ages. And if you look at the paintings that jump out and that actually you think, oh, they make me feel something, I reckon that 90% out of the time, that is not the perfect drawing or the perfect sketch. That is often something that does something with your emotions for other reasons. So So I think that is something that people sometimes forget, that a drawing doesn't always have to be perfect. We have photos. If we want a photorealistic something, then we can take photos. Art is a different way of expressing ourselves, and it's our way of seeing the world. Do you know that we all see colors differently, for example? We all have different experiences of how bright colors are or how intense, or we all experience the world in our own unique way. And through art, we can express ourselves in how we perceive the world, and it's not necessarily the same for someone else.
Absolutely. No, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. And also, but like practice is also a really big part of it. Because if I look at drawings that I made 5 years ago, they are very different from what I'm making
now. How very different are they?
Well, like completely different. Like I've learned so much in 5 years, and I hope that I keep on learning till I'm, I don't know, 95. So, and I think people sometimes forget, if they see a picture on Instagram and it's like a perfect painting or a perfect drawing, and they think, oh, I'll never be able to make that. They don't know the journey that someone went through to get to that stage, how much practice they've had, how much tears they shed sort of through things in the corner because they didn't like it. Everyone is on their own journey. We all start somewhere and it's all practice. And
100%.
As long as you enjoy the process, then the final result, to me, is secondary.
Absolutely. And I think everyone has their own style, don't they? They have their own style. You can kind of, if you know people already that do art, they paint something, and there's a few people in the room and they paint something, you can probably tell who's done what. Because do you know what I mean? You can see their style in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we all put a little bit of our own personality into our drawings.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I find it really fun if you draw, like sometimes I draw in a group of people and we all have the same reference photo that we work from. And then at the end, everyone shows their work. And then everyone's drawings are different. Like everyone, mine is like, they're all different. And it's really fun to see how everyone puts a bit of their personality in it.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Talk to us, if you can, and share, you know, personally from your own experience where art has helped you find inner peace and mindfulness during a challenging time.
I think I shared a little bit about that already when I told you about my grandmother's passing and when I was going through a period of grief. And that was a very difficult time to me. When you lose someone you're close to, even though they are very old, like I still miss her dearly every day. So even though I'm grateful for the life that she led, that grief that always stays with you, right? So be able to process your thoughts and your feelings onto paper. For me, it was very, very therapeutic, very helping. And throughout lockdown as well, like I'm sure all of us have experienced difficult times, you know, throughout those few years. And yeah, be able to paint and to draw and to do something positive and do something, create something with your hands, like, The actually physical activity of making something, I think, is really it's really good for you. So yeah, definitely those times were moments. And even nowadays, sometimes when I feel a bit low, now we all have days like that. Sometimes you have a day when you don't feel great and you feel a bit low energy, low mood. Whenever I make a painting, I always feel better afterwards. Like I never regret doing art. Sometimes I think, oh, I don't really know what to draw. I don't really know what to paint. Nowadays, I have lots of tricks and ideas. And I have a sketchbook where I think, oh, I'd practice this in. So I can pick up some things where I just give myself some assignments to do. But I never regret it. I always feel better afterwards. I always like making art. Yeah.
No, that sounds great. It's brilliant because I can see the enthusiasm when you talk about it, and your face just kind of sparkles up,
really
which is
nice
brilliant. No, but you can really see, you know, how much you enjoy it. And I'm guessing that probably resonates onto the people that you work with, and your clients and your, you know, online business as well. Would that be right?
Absolutely. I've got people who join me, like in that summer of 2019, when I was hosting in-person classes. I was very lucky that I was allowed to use a room above a pub in London, which I could use for free, which for me as a startup was just, you know, it really helped me get started. I had people joining me there for classes who are still with me now, and they join every week. That's just absolutely wonderful. That's very special.
Sounds brilliant. We'll talk a bit more at the end about your classes, because I think it'd be nice for our listeners to you know where they can, you know, get in contact with you about that service. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Irene, basically, talk to us about, you know, what are some of the challenges that have you've experienced as a self-taught artist, and how did you overcome them?
I think as a self-taught artist, my main challenge was self-motivation and to keep practicing, do research, practice things, try things out, and then slowly grow and get better and then get confidence in the things you make. Because I also started from a point where I didn't draw a lot to, you know, where I am now. And it goes in slow steps. Sometimes growth is not always linear, is it? Sometimes you suddenly, you know, you're struggling with something for a long time and then suddenly it clicks and then you make a jump and you get better. And then maybe the growth goes a little bit up and then suddenly, you know, you forget about it again and it goes down again. So it's that, and then to constantly think, okay, I want to do this. I keep practicing, I keep working on it. And yeah, self-motivation is something that, yeah, I really had to, sometimes I have to be tough with myself as well. Like, yeah, you have to do this today. And also in terms of running a business, I don't have any business background, but there's a lot of things. People always think I just sit in my studio painting all day. That is not quite the reality. In reality, I have a lot of administration to do, social media, answering emails, like queries from people, like, you know, customer service, how can I log in, or I forgot my password, that sort of things, which I all love doing as well. But yeah, the reality is not that I'm just, you know, sending in the garden paint flowers all day. That's not quite how it is.
There's a lot more to it by the sound of things.
There is, yes.
No, no worries. Is there any advice you can offer to aspiring artists about, you know, how to start off a career in this area?
I think for people who want to make art as their career, I think a really big thing, and it's a bit obvious, but people often forget, is to make lots of art. And people often focus so much on other things like social media growth, getting your name out there. But if you don't make the art, you have nothing to sell. So if you want to, say, become a children's book illustrator, make sure you paint lots of pictures that are suitable for children's books. Start small, start building it out, create the work. If you have a body of work, then you can, you know, go to people and send out your portfolio. And before you've created the work, it's really hard to do so. So make lots and lots of art, build a portfolio, branch out a bit from that as well. So maybe you have an idea where you think, I want to do art in the style of this and this artist that I really admire. People often start this way. They have someone they admire, start making art in that style. And then don't be afraid to try something else. Say you always paint in watercolors and you create children's books pictures. Pick up some charcoal and do something completely different just to see how that feels and how it inspires you. And sometimes we all get pigeonholed a little bit in an idea, but it's okay to try things out. And also, share the things you make. I started sharing my art online sort of from maybe just before 2019. And people started asking me, like, for commissions. Oh, can you make a portrait of my dog or my cat or a family portrait? Can you draw this? Oh, I'm writing a book. I need a book cover. Can you do this? So sometimes work can come from really unexpected places. So share it with your friends, your family. If you want to be a professional artist, you have to get used to people seeing your art. So you have to share it with people.
That's true.
It can be scary, but we've all been there. It's scary for everyone.
This is a chance to plug yourself. You can say for those aspiring artists to join your online, you know, part of your online group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love that. Join.
So my favorite artist, I think, is Salvador Dali. Mm. I love his artwork. It's very different, let's say, for anyone that's seen Salvador Dali's work, and you know the way the art comes together and it's so abstract and everything like that. Who's your favorite artist?
I think Frida Kahlo, I think, must be my all-time favorite. Also because I really love her story and her personality. I think she was very ahead of her time as well. Very powerful woman. But yeah, I love so many different types of art. I love going to a museum and looking at art. And it's also okay to look at art and don't necessarily like it for your own home, but then still look at it and appreciate how it's made or get some inspiration from it. Because a lot of artwork isn't really meant for people's houses, right? It's not, maybe if you have a castle, but a lot of it is not really meant to hang in your home.
You're right.
I love that museum.
Some of it's expensive as well, isn't it?
This is true. This is true. Especially if you want to buy a Dali.
I think
art comes in lots of different price categories, right? And I think it's very special to put a bit of like handmade art into your home, rather than a poster or like there's a lot of markets and stuff. If people want to buy some art, there's lots of places where you can find things. I think
I was going to mention that because there's an art place just down the road to me, and I walked into there, I think about it was last year summer. And there's some beautiful art pieces. I mean, you don't necessarily obviously need to go to a museum. There's loads of, you know, even locally, I'm sure there's paintings which you can either get inspiration from or, you know, if you want to purchase it, you purchase it or whatever, isn't it? And art's all around everywhere, really, isn't it?
Mm. I love street art. I used to live in East London for a while and there's so many like amazing street artists out there. This is sort of a bit of a dream of mine to do some big murals one day. I've never done a mural, but to work on like this really big wall where you're not sort of contained to like a canvas, to a piece of paper, but you can just let your like take up so much space. I think it'd be amazing. So one day, if we speak in 5 years time, maybe I'll have a mural somewhere.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Talk to us about your art group and your online business and also where people can find out how to become a part of that.
Okay, fantastic. Well, my business is called Makings and Musings. And the inspiration for that name is very much about making things with your own hands. And musings is like your thoughts, your creativity, your like mindfulness. Like, you know, when you're musing, your thoughts sort of come up, letting your mind wander a little bit. And also a muse is like someone that might inspire you, right? Like artists have a muse. So that's very much where the name came from. And with Makings and Musings, I teach online courses. At the moment, I'm doing almost everything online or for groups, for workshops, corporate events and things like that. But yeah, I host online courses in painting, drawing, sketchbooking, abstract art as well. I do a lot of different types of painting and drawing courses, some a bit more realistic, some a bit more abstract. And I have an online community. And in the online community, we have four live sessions on Zoom every month where we paint and we draw together. So every session has a topic. Sometimes we focus on, like have a focus session where we work in color pencil and we're really focusing on how to use the pencil, how do you use the material, creating something more realistic. And sometimes we travel over the world. Last week, I did a session where we traveled to Copenhagen, like virtually. So I had lots of reference pictures from the city of Copenhagen and we pretended to sit there and sketch the sites, and we were looking at lots of different things there. So I really try and come up with lots of different things that inspire me and that other people do as well. And then people share their art in the community. There's lots of discussion groups going on where people talk about different materials and questions. And so it's lovely for me to see sometimes to step away and see the interaction happening between people as well. So that's the... within Makings and Musings, the main things that I do.
Brilliant. And is that on, there's a website for that, is it? People can go to that website, can they?
Yeah. My website is makingsandmusings.com and on social media everywhere, Makings and Musings. You can find me everywhere on Instagram, Facebook. I'm just trying to think of all the social media channels. Oh, on YouTube, I do a weekly YouTube sketchbook session every Thursday at 3:00. People can just tune in and we sketchbook together, which is also very interactive. It's really lovely to see people sort of having like little talks and discussions about art materials in the comments. But it's slightly less interactive than Zoom, of course. But yeah, every Thursday we do a sketchbook session together. Makings and Musings. You can find me everywhere.
Brilliant. And you mentioned, how many times each month do you do a class?
So 4 times a month in my community. And sometimes when I launch a new course, I include some extra classes there as well.
Okay. Any more plans for the business to expand or anything like that?
Well, I've made lots of changes last year because in up till last year, everything I did was, so this is a little bit of business talk, right? But before I changed everything last year, I used to do 8 to 10 classes a week, which was really wonderful. But it was very time consuming for me to do. And I want to also work on lots of other things, my personal art. I have an art studio in Cambridge where I paint and where I draw and where I make larger pieces. So I work on that side of my business as well. So I had to think at some point, how can I sort of grow my business and scale up? And one way was doing more individual classes, but that takes up a lot of time, or start doing online courses and my community where I can, you know, offer my services to a bigger group of people without adding lots of extra hours of work. So I've changed everything around. And since then I'm doing courses and it gives me a lot more time to make art, which is really wonderful for me.
Brilliant. Irene, thank you for your time. It's been great to hear about, you know, what you've been in terms of business, what you're doing, and, you know, how your art classes are helping everyone. And thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And if anyone has any questions, I'm very approachable. Just send me a message on Instagram. It's probably the easiest way, or on Facebook. And very happy to answer questions, or if anyone wants to know a little bit more about art materials or anything, I'm always there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners. You can know we can find me on Gavin at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.